Everyone, welcome back to another episode of Staccato. Today we have a guest. His name is Ren, and we met in Peru. So I just did an update, I think 2 weeks ago, talking about my trip. But soon we're going to be calling guests one by one, and so we can recap some more of the stories. And Ren, did you want to introduce yourself? Tell us a little about you.
Of course. Hi, everyone. My name is Ren Davis. I'm a first-year medical student, well, soon to be second-year medical student at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, Tucson. And I just had a cool experience in Peru with Avantika. It was a really special time, and I'm excited to get to talk about it.
How did you hear about Vive Peru?
There's a global health distinction track, almost like a minor for the medical students at U of A. And they encourage people to look up programs abroad so you can have an experience learning about healthcare in a different country. And so I heard about it via the program. Somebody said that she was going, and I was interested. I had been wanting to learn more Spanish and go to a Spanish-speaking country. And so after one of my fellow students at U of A suggested it, I looked into it more and I fell in love with the program and had the opportunity to go.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it was a whole big coincidence that we ended up being all U of A students during our summer session that we were there. Because technically, it can be students from anywhere all over the world. And actually, the session right after us, there was an Australian. And so it was just like a huge coincidence that it was just five U of A people, three of them already in the medical school, me starting my first year, and then an undergrad as well. And so that was a cool thing we all had in common. And we were like, okay, well, we're all going back to Tucson together. That's awesome.
Not shocking though, because Vive Peru is run out of Arizona, so I think they do a lot heavier recruiting. Avanti, do you know what like track you're gonna do, or when do you like pick that?
Yeah, so I definitely have an interest in the global track as well, because I've done Costa Rica and now Peru, which were two really great and similar experiences. But I was kind of kicking myself a little bit because now that I've already done Vive Peru and gone there, I technically didn't get any credit for it because it was before my med school experience. And so now I'm like, maybe I can choose like two other countries, but you have to set up a program and make sure that they have contacts there. And so Vive Peru is just really convenient because students have been going there for years. But I would have to do a little bit of research and see what other Spanish-speaking country. I
I
was
mean,
talking to
oh
some.
dang, you have to study abroad
I
again.
know,
Like,
another
there
two
are
years.
that sounds awful.
Right?
Just so you're aware, Avantika, there is a database. So all of the students from U
Okay.
of A that participate in the Global Health Program, they're required to fill out like a survey with some questions of how their experience went, as well as the contact information for the people in charge of the program. And so a lot of times you're able to look up things that people have done and then do something similar or go to the same program or to the same country. There's also two physicians in charge of the program that help connect students with different systems abroad. I know
Right.
there's one physician who always takes a group to Kenya, and then there's a one who goes to Tanzania as well. So there's connections in Africa and other places abroad.
And
That's
I'm
really
sure
cool.
there's Mexico run ones too. So not even like you have to go far and spend a ton of money.
Exactly.
Lots of options, but that's a bridge we're going to cross later. But speaking of distinction tracks, I am interested in the leadership one, and then there's like a medical education one as well. And so those are the two I'm keeping like an open mind about. Obviously, global has always been there, but all that will come in a couple weeks, in a couple months. But very excited for all of it.
Ren, are you from Arizona, or like where'd you do undergrad, or like how did you, which was your journey to U of A?
That's a great question. It's actually kind of special to me because my dad went to medical school here at U of A as well. And so I grew up in Tucson. I was actually born the year that my dad started medical school. And then he continued on for his residency in orthopedic here in Tucson. And so I grew up here. My family kind of bounced around after that. But I did my undergrad at BYU in Utah, and now I'm back in Tucson. So part of me kind of feels like I'm coming home, and it's been really cool to experience Tucson as an adult.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's very different because you can explore and do a lot more when you're not 9 years old.
When, so
But
you left Tucson when you were nine then?
yeah, that's right.
Okay. So you did you guys live like Tucson proper or like one of the areas like surrounding Tucson?
It was closer to Oro Valley.
Okay, my boyfriend's from Oro Valley. That's why I ask. So I've spent a lot of time now in the Oro Valley area.
Oh, cool. I had a sister who went to Mountain View High School in Oro Valley. I don't know if you know that, but your boyfriend might be from Tucson.
Yeah, I feel like Avant and I are like decently well acquainted with all the high schools in Arizona because we did band in high school. And so like from all the different band competitions, like, and most schools have a band. We're like aware between sports and band, aware of like all the schools. So I've definitely like heard of Mountain View.
Cool.
Yeah. No, so I was thinking we could dive into some Peru stories. We had a really fun and adventurous weekend in Huaraz. And lots of anecdotes that came out of that one. And so basically, it was a weekend trip. It was, so I was in Peru for about like 5 or 6 weeks total. Bren was only there for 2 weeks, but our time overlapped a little bit. And so during one of those weekends, we decided the group of five of us would go to Laguna 69, which is this beautiful hike up to a glacier and like a lagoon. And so it was really pretty. But the story starts when we're getting on the bus to go to our destination. Bren, do you want to take it over from here?
Yeah, this was a traumatic experience for me, but it was a good reminder that you need to have your passport. So I remember the program directors had told us that we need to have our passport to get on the bus, but for some reason I had moved it from my backpack that I was taking with me every day to my luggage, and I had left my luggage at the host family's house. And so we show up to the bus station, everybody's getting their stuff ready, and people are pulling out their passports because we have like 10 or 12 minutes before we have to get on the bus. And I realized that I don't have mine. And so that was awful because I wanted to go on this trip. It was like, a once in a lifetime experience, and I wouldn't have been able to go to Huaraz otherwise. And so Avantika, I mean, you helped me out a lot. We went and talked to somebody and asked if it was possible for me just to use my driver's license, but he didn't know, and we were running out of time. So we figured the best bet would be to be safe and to run back and get this my passport. And so
Because
somebody,
another factor in it is we didn't want Ren to get there and then on the way back not be able to get back because the
oh,
bus
to be
driver on
stuck.
the other side that like requires a passport. So we said no one needs to get stranded anywhere. We had 10 minutes at this point. So we were like, Ren, you're gonna run home, grab your passport, and get back here as soon as you can. And so then you can continue from there.
Did you guys
Yeah,
cross a
so
border or why did you need the passport?
That was just kind of
They
like the documentation that they need to let you on the bus. It might have been like between state lines, but I'm not really sure why. That's just kind of, you use your passport more often abroad than you ever do in America.
So true.
Exactly. And so they just needed a national identification. And because we didn't have a Peruvian ID, we just had to use our passport.
Oh, that's what it was. So anyway, we call a taxi. It's actually an Uber kind of, and somebody else calls it. So they're tracking my location because they know where the Uber is. And so it takes forever and a day for them to show up. I get in the car, and I kind of explain to him in my extremely broken Spanish because I was nervous. I feel like generally I have pretty decent Spanish, but like I was nervous. So I was dropping words here and there, trying to explain that I needed to go quickly and then we need to come right back to the bus station. And thankfully, I knew exactly where it was, ran upstairs, grabbed the passport, made it back to the car and back to the bus station. And they yell at me like, what else? Is it you? You need to go.
And
And
so
so
we had been
I
talking to the bus driver, and while Ren was on his own little adventure, we had a system in place to try to delay the bus as much as possible. So there were four of us left, and we just went and staggered. We were like, okay, one person of the group, get on the bus, look at the situation, how many people are on there. Then we waited a couple minutes, sent the next person on, then waited a couple minutes just to make the line even longer. And then I tried talking to the bus driver, saying, my friend is on his way. He's super close. Like, can you just wait just a couple minutes? And at first he was like, no, we can't wait. We have a 5 minutes like tardiness. And after 5 minutes, we're leaving, no exceptions. And then we kept getting closer and closer to the 5 minute period. And then the bus driver came to us and he was like, how far away is your friend? And that's when we had his location. We were like, he's literally on this street. Like, he'll be here in a minute. And so the bus driver was like, okay, we'll wait until your bus get or until your friend gets on the bus and then we'll leave. And so they were looking out for you as you were running into the
Oh,
station.
totally. Yeah, so we're freaking out. Everybody's crazy. Like, but I have my passport and like I'm ready to go. And they ask for my passport and I show it to them, but they don't ask for the ticket, which was really weird to me. Apparently they
It
just
must
have
be
like
just
the list of all of
convenient.
the patients. But
Yeah.
like in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, my friends must have my ticket. They must have shown it to him because I had left all of like my luggage and stuff at the bus station, and my ticket was like sitting on top of my backpack. And so they didn't ask for my ticket.
And
They just
so
asked for my passport. So I jump on the bus and everyone is freaking out. They're so excited that I made it. They're giving me
we're
hugs.
cheering. Half of us were on the verge of tears. We're like, we're gonna go without Ren. What's gonna happen? And so when you see his face, we're all just so excited. We're hugging. We're like, oh my gosh, let's do it. Let's do this weekend trip. And the bus starts rolling away because
Yeah,
now
so
it's
we're
time.
pulling up.
Departure's happened. And then
And then I ask everyone, well, where'd you put my stuff? They're like, what do you mean? You didn't have it with you on the taxi?
and we're like,
And I'm like, no. So that was
and they're like,
wild.
oh
So all of my stuff
no. And
was
so
like left in the bus station, just sitting on like a bench. And so luckily I had a contact of somebody from the city, Trujillo, and I was able to call him and explain like, hey, I left my backpack here. Would you be able to like go pick it up? And so they called the bus station and they were able to like find it right away and to keep it in a corner or something for my friends to pick up later, which was like a huge blessing. Honestly, I felt very fortunate that I was able to get all of my stuff back.
So
But that did
now
mean
all
that
you have
for
is your passport. Before you had everything but your passport, and now all you have is your passport.
Exactly. And so on the bus, I made some memes. I'm like trying to decide between two important things. Either you have clothes or you have a passport. Which one's more important?
I've been on both sides of this
And
story
so,
before, and it's so stressful and a traumatic experience. So I
oh
fully
my gosh.
understand.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad
The
that
good
all worked
part
out and
was Ren
he had
had
a great
his
weekend.
phone.
Oh yeah, I have my
Right.
phone,
And
I
he
have my
had his
wallet, and I have
phone
my
with him.
passport. So like the essentials.
Exactly. And then all that's in the bag was just clothes. And so worst case, if he lost all his clothes, that's replaceable. But things like your phone and wallet would have been much more of a headache. But everything worked out. He got all his stuff back. We had a great time. We were all sharing clothes and borrowing toothpaste and everything else, but we were only there for 2 days, so it was totally fine.
Was this organized by V-Day Peru, or you guys organized this?
Kind of together, we told them that we
Kind
wanted to spend our
of,
weekend in a cool way, and they suggested this. Isn't that right?
yeah. And then they helped us organize the hostel that we lived at, and then the tours were through the hostel, so they did take care of the majority of it. We just kind of gave them the dates that we were interested in going, so it worked out. Yeah, that I think was definitely like one of the most stressful points of the trip. Everything else was pretty mild. Like we had our fair share of adventures in the hospitals and stuff, but that one always sticks out the most.
Ivanka,
But it
have
was
you been
gorgeous.
like saving the stories? Because I feel like you didn't tell me any like specific stories, and I don't know if it's because you were saving it for the podcast, but like I haven't heard any of this before.
I don't know if I didn't mention it to you or like, because those 2 days flew by. Like, I wasn't on my phone. We were hiking. We were doing all this stuff. And then when we came back home, it felt like it was forever ago. I feel like the whole trip, like, just feels like it was almost a year ago, even though it was just a couple months ago. So maybe I forgot to tell you the story, or you always get reminded, like, when you see those people or when you talk about something related. And so I was like, we're having Ren on. We definitely have to touch on that one.
Oh, definitely. But one of the
Yeah.
ironic things is that I was able to go up to the lake and I almost didn't make it. But then some of the people who had their passports and were ready, my friend Matthews and Kyle, they didn't get up to the lake.
Yeah.
And so that kind of added to the drama. Matthews like was sick and we thought that he had like a bacterial
Or
infection or
food
something. And so he stayed at
poisoning.
home
Yeah.
with like a stomach bug.
Right.
And then it was kind of scary. We were out to lunch in Huaraz. I was so grateful that I had made it there. And we order food, and food is starting to show up when our friend Kyle like passes out, kind of
Yeah.
like he's
It
like
just gets super
unresponsive.
pale. And
Yeah,
he looks so white.
he's
He's
already
not
pale.
responding.
Like he because he has like light skin and red hair, but like he turns like a sheet of paper. And
Yeah.
it's kind of spooky, but like he comes
Yeah.
around after like 20 minutes or something and
And
he's
so
okay.
we're like, maybe he's dehydrated, maybe his blood sugar's low, because that's the first things you think of. And so we're trying to cool him down. We're trying to see if he wants to take a couple bites of something, but he just can't even talk. His eyes are open and he's like responding. So we know he's not passed out, but he just wasn't there with us. So that was kind of spooky.
Yeah, it was weird. And we wonder that like, if it was something to do with the elevation, because Huadas is like over 10,000 feet, I want to say. And so we
And
were
they
kind of
did
feeling the
tell us.
elevation change.
We took a couple pills beforehand, and then they said, get there one day before you're going to do the hike just to get used to the elevation and like walk around the city a little bit, get your lungs used to working harder. And so we were in the process of acclimatizing ourselves, but an episode happened.
Did you guys feel the elevation yourselves, or did the medicine take care of it for you?
I
I
definitely
still.
felt it on the hike up to the lake.
Yeah, I agree. I just felt out of breath. That was most of it. I didn't have a headache or dizziness or anything. It was just hard to breathe. And then especially when you're hiking, you're already exerting yourself. And so I was like, am I just really out of shape or is it the elevation? And so I
Probably
choose to
both.
believe maybe half and half, but I'm blaming it on the elevation. Yeah. And so then Kyle, thankfully, he came too, and then he had some food and he was feeling a lot better. But he also decided to pass on the hike up to the lake. And so it was just Ren, Via, and I who eventually made it all the way to the top. But we got some nice, pretty pictures and shared it with the group afterwards.
Since it was so high, was there like snow and ice?
So that was actually really interesting because hiking in America, I feel like you get past the tree line and then it's just kind of rocks and then you might get to some ice and snow. But on this hike, we had like vegetation and plants all the way up to the lake. And then once you get to the lake itself, then you see like the ice because the water is draining from like a glacier into this lake. And so the
Okay,
end of the
interesting.
hike is when you see the ice and snow.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought something that was unique about the hike was there were so many different terrains. And so we started off on this really flat, there were cows that were grazing and there was a river running through it. So it was gorgeous, but it's really super flat. Then we started going up on an incline, and that's when we were on the mountains and we got to see waterfalls. And so there were a couple waterfalls along the way. And then we got even higher up, and then that's where it was the glaciers and the lake. And so it was kind of a little bit of everything.
Very cool.
So that was
Yeah.
definitely a highlight of the trip. Ren, do you want to talk about your Portuguese background? Because Acacia is learning Portuguese, and I thought that's a similarity you guys have. And so, do you
Oh,
want
of
to talk
course.
about how you learned it, your interest in it?
So I'm a member of a church called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and many members of my church will take 2 years of their life to serve as a missionary in a different country or well, all over the world, really. And so, when you're getting ready for that, you fill out an application of the background that you have in different languages and your willingness to go abroad. And I was asked to go to Brazil. And so I lived in Brazil as for 2 years as a missionary. And consequently, I picked up Portuguese. The experience was really, really cool. I had the opportunity to live with a lot of Brazilians and kind of became unaccustomed to using English. It was very interesting. Because, and I told you about this a month ago, but everything that I did was in Portuguese or as much as I could. So, like, I tried to keep a journal in Portuguese, and eventually I found myself thinking and dreaming in a different language. And so that was really cool as well. But because of that, the trip to Peru was made both, it was more enriching because I understood a lot from my Portuguese background and the two languages being very similar. But I felt like it kind of got in the way sometimes when I was attempting to say something, but it was coming out in like a Portuguese blend of Spanish. So Portuñol, if you will.
Yes, I learned Spanish first. So that happens to me with Portuguese because I don't have the vocabulary because that just comes from exposure. And so I understand it like perfectly when someone's talking to me or I'm listening to it or I'm reading it. But then when I try to produce the language, the Spanish vocab is what comes out first because I just don't have that. So I've had like the opposite experience. So I'm currently applying to go do Fulbright in Brazil. The
Ooh, exciting.
school year after this one, so like March 2026. So cool. Where were you in Brazil?
I was in the south part of Brazil. The state is called Rio Grande do Sul, which is the big river in the south, if you translate it. But the capital is called Porto Alegre, and I was like a few hours inland from Porto Alegre. And so most of my time was spent in this city called Santa Maria, and it was really, really cool. I loved getting to know the community there.
That's awesome. Did you do that in the middle of college, before college, between college and med school? When did you go?
That was right after high school. So I was only 18 when I left. And then afterwards, I did all of my undergrad after I finished in Brazil.
Okay, very interesting. Yeah, I feel like at my high school, we had a decent amount of people that were members of the church, and they did a lot of the guys did their missions usually between high school and college. And then the girls, since the age is later, would do like a year or two of college and then go.
Yeah, it's kind of variable. I have a little brother who went to a year of college first, and then he went to Philadelphia, actually. But yeah, it's really fun to see what people do with their daily lives, and you can only see that if you're there for an extended period. And so I'm sure Avantika can like talk about Costa Rica and Peru in this way, because we were there for long enough to see how normal life is like. And you don't get that if you're a tourist. If you're only going to Machu Picchu, then you're not going to understand what it is to be Peruvian. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. What
and
kind
like
of?
The dream,
oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say the dream is to be there for such an extended amount of time. Like I was in Costa Rica for 3 months, and I wish it could have been something like 2 years or 3 years, because your experience just gets even more strengthened and deepened, and you get to see all the details of it. And then the language itself. I feel like when I was in Peru for this last month, I almost hit a block. In Costa Rica, I found myself improving a lot, like exponentially. But then either I'm like already at the high enough level where I can comprehend and like talk to other people where they understand me enough that there's like no motivation for me to jump to that next higher level to start using more improved vocabulary and like different grammar structures, because I'm just so used to doing what I'm doing. And so I found that I hit that block in Peru, but I'm wondering if I was there for a little longer, like if something would have pushed me to that next level.
I feel like you still would have had to be active in it, because that was like with my roommate in France. Like she was there for an entire year and she just eventually felt like she hit a block, like she was not getting any better at French. And you have to like actively work on it. Once you get to a certain point, you're just not just going to passively absorb things anymore if you don't like put that into practice.
Yeah. And definitely full immersion is the best way to do it. And so I'm so jealous of the fact that like Ren said, he had no other Spanish or no other English speakers there. It was just Portuguese. And so you have to problem solve in Portuguese and everything in Portuguese. And then I was so impressed by your vocab too, because it's been years since you've been in Brazil. But when we were in Peru together, he would like know words for the most random things where I was like, how do you remember how to say vacuum a carpet? Or how do you remember how to say something that like you probably only said it once and then that's it? But it was super cool to see the blend of all the languages.
Oh yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I think it's kind of cool because you can get a lot of similar stuff from Spanish and Portuguese. One thing that I've noticed is the letter F is used in place of the letter H. In Spanish to Portuguese, like the word for liver is hígado in Spanish, and in Portuguese it's fígado with an F. So like little things, little tips and tricks will kind of jog my memory. But if you really want to push to the next level, of course immersion is the best, but I like reading. I've tried to read a few books in Portuguese, and that really expands your vocabulary, because there's a difference between spoken language and written language.
Absolutely.
And then I did have the chance to take some formal Portuguese grammar classes at BYU, and those were taught by Brazilians. And so those like really, really pushed me to expand vocabulary and to write in Portuguese. Of course, it's grueling. It's hard work, but I think it's really cool because then you can connect with people and speak their language.
At ASU, we have two classes, like Portuguese for Spanish speakers 1 and 2. And that's just like accelerated through it. And so I did that. Unfortunately, the teaching method was not great. Like it really promoted lazy learning. And so I was just not super motivated. So my vocab definitely did get better, because like we have our vocab tests like once a month. And so I definitely acquired the good like basic vocab, but like Portuguese, I don't engage with Portuguese a lot. And so I think I've definitely left it because I don't know if Avant told you this, but like I'm a polyglot. And so I'm working on other languages that are not Portuguese right now. And so when you're not using it, you absolutely lose it. And so I've been trying to make more conscious effort to like find music that I like and maybe some like YouTube channels. And then I've watched some TV shows on Netflix. Netflix, the Brazilian Netflix stuff is really good.
That's cool. I haven't even delved into that. But oh, I highly recommend the band Melim, which is Melim. It kind of gets nasalized at the end. Melim. Great Brazilian band.
Is it funk or no? Because that's one thing that I always find a roadblock with Portuguese music is that I don't like funk.
Oh yeah, funky can be kind of heavy and very sexualized, and so that makes it kind of like a really restricted audience. But Melim is more of like sertanejo, I think. I don't know. It reminds me of kind of like a Jason Mraz vibe, but it's unique in Brazilian music. I think there's not really a lot else like it, and it's like older slightly. I feel like they were a big thing in Brazil maybe 10 years ago.
Interesting.
But yeah, they're really awesome.
And then what I was going to ask you before Vontika had her other thing that she was going to say is what kind of medicine are you interested in going into?
Oh, of course. Good question. I really want to do ear, nose, and throat surgery. And of course, it's hard to say since I've only finished my first year. And a lot of times people have a better idea of what they want to do after they've completed a few of their rotations. But from what I've seen, ENTs have an opportunity to work with a wide variety of patients from really, really young to really old. And so I like that breadth of patient practice in my practice. And then the variety of surgeries, of course, is really cool as well. I think it would be really interesting to learn how to work with patients that have thyroid cancer, how to take out tonsils, and then even how to do like facial reconstruction. I met somebody at U of A who is the head of the facial reconstruction department or something like that. But he did a fellowship in a traumatic repair. And so there's just like a really wide variety of things that you can do. And I think that you can really touch people's lives directly. Like, think about how rewarding it would be to give somebody their face back after like a car accident. That sounds wild to me. And so I'd love to be able to have the chance to make an impact on somebody's life in that way.
That's super
And
cool.
then,
My cousin is doing her residency right now for ear, nose, and throat. But she wants to be on like the speech pathology kind of side of it. So not like doing surgery, but doing more like therapy, like speech therapy and things like that. So yeah.
yeah,
As a
it's a
follow-up
huge field.
question, you did a lot of like, so in Peru, we had a chance to choose what we wanted to see and rotate with and
Yeah,
chat
did you
about
see the
in
jaw
that field.
surgery? Because Vantika told me about the jaw surgery.
No, so I actually missed out on all of the surgery days because 1 week I was there was the Peruvian Flag Day, and so some surgeries that had been scheduled for that day or like were switched because of the holiday. And then another day I was supposed to go into the operating room, like the paperwork was messed up, and so they didn't let us in. But tell me about the jaw surgery. That sounds cool.
It was really cool. I was surprised with how just like fundamental it was. All they did was open up their skin, get down to the bone, and put some screws in. But so when you say it that way, it's like, oh my gosh, it's so simple. But then seeing the steps and then go through it systematically was awesome. That was the second surgery I had ever seen in my life. And so I was still getting used to the idea of like, oh my gosh, that's a real person on the table. Like they're going to wake up from this, and in a couple months, they're going to be 100% healed. And so it was just like the mental aspect of everything, but incredible experience. Super happy that I got to go through it. And before Peru, I wasn't super interested in surgery, but then I think once you see a couple, you understand all the behind the scenes of it. And so now I'm considering, I'm like, oh, maybe there is a future for me in there somewhere. But still, definitely keeping an open mind. I wanted to ask you after doing the rotations in ENT in Peru, did your ideas change? Are you like more committed to ENT, or you feel like there were parts of it that you didn't know before that you learned during your time in Peru?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of stuff that I did was kind of mundane, which has pros and cons. On the positive side, it was really helpful to see what dialogue you hear between patients and physicians in kind of a simple setting. Like, oh, you have a cold. I'm sorry to hear about that. Like, how can we help? Have you tried these different things? And so that was great for like the Spanish language learning. But it did make me think that clinic seems a little bit dull to me, like dealing with patients that have bronchitis and patients that have like a respiratory infection and things like that. That's why surgery kind of appeals to me, because it's a little bit more of like I struggle to know how to describe this, but I feel like there's a wider breadth of intellectual fields that need to go into surgery, because you need to know like the pathology, but you also need to know the anatomy, and you need to know all these different things. But one of the most rewarding parts of being in the clinic was seeing how a physician can do non-surgical maneuvers. One patient came in with benign positional paroxysmal vertigo, which is when you have little otoliths or stones inside of the semicircular canals, beside the cochlea or next to it, the vestibular system. And so because of that, she was feeling like the world was spinning, and the doctor did a maneuver called the Dix-Hall Pike to test for that, to see if that's truly the diagnosis that she should go with. And then afterwards, she did something called the Epley maneuver, which is meant to treat a patient with these small like stones inside of their ear. And so yeah, it was kind of cool to see that you can really treat people in like a physical way without involving surgery or even a scalpel.
Yeah,
Very
and I'm sure it
interesting.
was even cooler for you guys, like the students who just finished their year one of medical school, because you learned about all of this in the textbooks in the classroom. And so it was just a direct application of what you had already learned and literally just been tested on. And so I know we would have conversations about that all the time where either we would be like trying to debate something that happened in the clinic or someone saw a patient. They're like, I think this relates to what we learned in class the other day. And so that's something where I was like, it would be such a different experience just having that background knowledge already and then going into the clinic and being like, oh yeah, I learned about it or I know what they're talking about. Because I also learned so much, but mine was like one step back where first I had to learn what did the diagnosis mean? What are the treatments of it? What's the pathology? Just stuff that I don't have the knowledge of yet. But in a year, I'm sure that's going to be way more expanded.
Oh yeah, I'm really jealous of you actually to have the opportunity to do both like before and after, because comparing would be really interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
What was I going to ask? I had my question answered. Oh, how come you just went for a week? Because you said it was only a week, or were there 2 weeks?
I was there for 2 weeks, and so
Okay.
it's because I had an opportunity to work in the anatomy lab here in Tucson, and so I really wanted to do both. And so, yeah, I just kind of cut that short in Peru so that I would have the chance to come back here to review a bunch of anatomy to help some students that were taking a summer class in anatomy. And then also to work with a professor, because anybody in medical school will recognize the importance of networking with other physicians and other faculty, because of how important those connections can be for your future. And so, building a CV and stuff is important, but also searching for the experiences that you find valuable.
Right.
Very cool.
And then through the global track, I think 2 weeks was the minimum. And so you hit that minimum, and then you can still do so much more with your summer. So it really is the best of all three worlds.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we are, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say there are plenty of worlds that you're a part of as a medical student, not the least of which is your personal life. So,
Yeah.
just putting in a plug there for taking time to foster those relationships in your personal life, because those are important. And sometimes they can kind of be pushed to the side in medical school because of how busy you are.
Right.
Makes
Yeah.
sense. Okay, well, we are timing out since I do not have a professional Zoom account. So we get 40 minutes. So it is timing out. So a segment that we always do at the end, Ren, is Song of the Week. So what have you been listening to on repeat this last week or past few weeks?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I discovered something called what's the name of the album? It's by Maggie Rogers, and it's her most recent album. It's called Don't Forget Me. Anyway, so that's been on repeat. I think it's awesome. She's kind of like this cool alternative artist. And it's kind of a sad song, but it's awesome. So take a listen.
Very
Very
cool.
cool.
I have been listening to the new Charli XCX album like everyone in the entire world right now. So it definitely have been enjoying Brat. And then my favorite song, I really like Mean Girls and then 360, which is the first song of the album. Those are really, it's really good like dance music. So.
Nice. So I know Billie Eilish's album came out a couple months ago, but I'm always late on these kind of things. And so now I'm finally listening to her new album. And the first time I went through it, I didn't really like it. Like I could only get through the first couple songs. But then the second time I started listening, I started right in the middle of the album with the song called The Diner. And I really like that one. And I feel like from The Diner afterwards, I enjoy those songs. But I think for right now, that's my favorite one on her album.
Unfortunately, I do not love this album as much as her other albums. It was okay, but I think Happier Than Ever was just a masterpiece. So she's having a hard time topping herself on that one. But
Yeah.
yeah. Thank you so much for being our guest friend. We really appreciate it.
Of
Yeah,
course.
thank
Thanks for
you for
having
coming
me.
on. It was nice chit-chatting after because the last time we saw each other was Peru in a different country. But looking forward to coming to Tucson soon and we'll catch up even more. But appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
Yes, and maybe we'll get a chance to connect in person too, because I'm going to be visiting Wantica throughout the year. So,
Awesome. Looking forward
Great.
to it.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Of course, have a
Bye.
good day. Bye.